welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with the Aspire crew here on this beautiful 30th day of September 2018. We're going again to have a little potpourri. We're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be spiritual. Now, this is some insights that I have gotten from listeners who listen and watch Aspire. I hope you find this really, really interesting as I do. I want to remind you that we're in our fundraising drive right now to sustain Aspire, to keep it on the air. And I hope you're enjoying the radio programs as well as the TV programs, but they cannot continue without your tax-deductible gift. It is just impossible for Aspire to sustain itself without your support. Whether we all like to admit this or not, we have to pay the bills. And it is only through your tax-deductible gifts that I am able to do that. So we are in our fundraising drive, and our mystery donor, who has been very generous this year and is going to match all donations as well as sponsorship. Now, your sponsorship is what makes this program happen. Sponsorship is a very unique thing. It allows us to pay the bills monthly, and not only that, but to serve humankind in the most beautiful way possible through the message of Aspire. So I am asking you, if you have enjoyed Aspire in any way, shape, or form, in all of its many forms, it also is something that I do when I go to hospice, and I work for hospice for free, obviously, and I have for many, many years, and need your support. You know, it is only through your gifts that I'm able to get there, you know, gasoline, car, that kind of thing, get your tushy over there. So I'm hoping that you will, well, see the light here as to what is possible, what is helpful to humankind, and make a donation at least, and better yet, become a sponsor. So if you become a sponsor, let's say at $25 a month, he will make it $50 a month. And that really, really helps me. And I hope that you will give it consideration. If you want more information, go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. And if you get there, you will see why support Aspire, our fundraising drive, and you can make your donation there and become a sponsor right there. And I hope that you do. Well, everybody has their ideas about what is spiritual, what isn't. You know, everybody does, whether it's necessary or not. So I thought it would be interesting and fun to take a look at what this is all about in our brain. What are we really talking about here when we talk about being spiritual? So here we go. The first question comes from Luke. Luke. That always reminds me of Star Wars. I'm sorry. Is it not natural to be non-spiritual? Is this how we are intended to really be, just animals, Luke? Well, yeah, you could live your life like an animal. I mean, there'd be nothing keeping you from doing that, I would imagine. What the heck? What would it matter? I guess you could look at it from the point of view that you were or are living just as you are in the whole epidemic of spiritual pain and sorrow. I suppose you could do that. But I wouldn't think that that would be the way you'd want to live your life. I just think that, well, maybe you'd want to evolve. I think a lot of people like the idea of living like an animal, living just to survive and do all the things that keep us in this survival modality, the pedestrian mentality that lives with the idea that you are here to find a mate, to have babies, as many as you can, and to have a big family. That is, I've never quite understood this, Luke. You're going to have to, I wish you were here to enlighten me a little bit more on your point of view. I've never understood this idea of making babies, having a family, and thinking that we were fulfilling the state of our life. We were making our life better. I've just never really understood that. I understand it's very popular with human beings. I understand they enjoy it. They think in terms of big family, big success. But I've never quite seen it like that ever in my life. I just don't see how that is anything to be meaningful. A lot of people think it's a matter of pride that you are able to do that. So whatever it is for you, whatever it is that floats your boat there, it's probably not a very, you know, good thing in the sense of our earthly experience, but is it spiritual? You don't think it is, and you don't think you have to be. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you you should be. I'm just not going to do that. That would be really ridiculous of me and redundant at the same time. You have to understand we are here for purposes of our own. We're not here to perpetrate the idea of everything being the way we want it to be right and good and all the things that we think. Listen to me, and now I'm going to get serious with you. The whole evolution of our life is based on the whole premise that we understand the nature of our living and what we're all about. We have dummied ourselves down to such a degree in this world that all we live for are the things of the flesh. And because we live in such a manner, we negate the real meaning of our life. In fact, we're not even privy to the new and authentic meaning of our existence, to really think in terms of our biology being in charge of our life, seems to me to be a very primitive way of living. We're overpopulated. Luke, I just don't think people really understand that. I mean, you can't drive down the street without somebody behind you and in front of you. And when I was a young man or when I was a child, it wasn't like that. You had room, you had space, you could breathe, but now you can't. And it just seems rather strange to me that we don't see all of this. We don't get all of this. We don't understand any of this. It just seems so strange to me that we don't understand the nature of what we have done to ourselves in this world, but we just don't seem to care very much about what we've done to ourselves in this world. So we just continue on. Just on that level, I would think you would have some sense of wanting to ask the question, what is the bigger picture of this world? What is the bigger picture of my life? What is it that I'm really here to do? Am I here just to populate and stay alive as long as I can in the minutiae of my pedestrian mentality, which doesn't really do anything but sustain silliness, major stupidity, major pain and sorrow, causing myself and the world war and poverty? Is that what it's all about? Is that what I think it is? Is that what the meaning of my life is? What is it that we're really doing? When you understand the nature of your life, you will come into a place where something of great discovery. The nature of your life is to evolve beyond the biology and to come into a sense of spirituality. Whatever that spirituality is to be for you, that's what we're here for, to awaken in that spirituality, to awaken in that blessing. It's very, very important, and yet I see people running around thinking that they can live their life in the measure and via the measure of their biology, thinking that's all there is. And when I ask people about this, Luke, and I say, do you think that all you're here for is to propagate? They'll say, yeah. They will absolutely say, yeah, big family is what it's all about, and having people that love you. And you see, the reason we want not only the big family out of pride, these are the people that we believe will be with us all of our life and will have to back us because we're family. And family gives us the license to do a lot of silly things that are very painful. So, yeah, it's natural not to be spiritual. I would agree in the biology end. But in the spiritual end, in the place where we come to understand the bigger picture, the heart of our life, it is not. We're here to evolve beyond the rigors of our biological needs and to come into some place where we can reach love. Love that is not contentious and is not supported just by biology. This is a very difficult thing for most of us to understand, even to think about, because we're so emotional. And for most people, it's all about emotionality. Luke, I wish you well in your life. You're doing what you do because that's what you think you are, and no one can talk you out of that. And I guarantee you, you will have many life experiences to show you the contrary. Please, please forgive me. Namaste. It takes a certain kind of wisdom to be able to see and recognize what we're really here for. This wisdom, this thing inside of us is very unusual. It's a pull, it's a feeling, it's a suspicion even within us that maybe there's something more. Maybe we're here for something more. And that's an interesting way to look at it from the point of view that maybe there's more to this lifetime than just the mere experience of having children and surrounding ourselves with emotionality. The next one is from Gail. Gail does not tell me where he or she lives. We are here to have fun and survive. That's all there is. And then it's lights out, as you say. Right, Gail? Well, Gail, if that's the way you want to look at it, then you're always going to be right. I'm not here to tell you what is right. I don't know any more about what's right than you do. So I don't want to go there into right. I would like to go into the idea that possibly this attitude of fun, fun, fun till the daddy takes the T-bird away mentality has to be tempered. Because fun for us is emotional gratification, and we can go off the deep end in that emotional gratification. Most of our life is spent under the influence of our emotionality, which at best is trivial, at best is cavalier, to say the least, and could care less about whatever it is that's going to happen as a result of our cavalier and emotional attitudes that say, well, just balls to the wall, let's just have fun. I'm all for having fun, but I am now realizing as I have gotten a little deeper and further into this thing called the spiritual practice that fun has to be put aside. The Greg Penn, idea of fun when he was younger has to be put aside. And something of a more significant nature has to take place within me, within everyone. And this isn't going to happen just because I say it needs to happen. This is something that has to happen when we're ready to let it happen, to awaken to what is going on in our life. So I would ask you, if you were here, Gail, what is going on in your life? What is it about you that needs this quote-unquote fun thing? What does that mean? What are you willing to sacrifice to have fun? Are you willing to sacrifice the totality of your life, the meaning of your life, the substance of your living? What are we talking about here? What is it that drives you to this moment where you are thinking in terms of just having fun until you drop dead, and then having that little right at the end of your sentence as though, well, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, that little maybe thing is what I'm interested in. I've heard all the other stuff in my career, you know, fun, fun, fun. I have counselees that will say to me, my whole life has been based on having fun, and I'm going to keep it that way. In other words, I'm not going to grow up, mature. Fun changes after a while. When fun can turn into something more loving, more kind, when fun can come to a place of generosity and beauty, that's when something of the other shore is taking place. Something magnificent is starting to happen. And you're starting to live your life in accord with the harmony that exists in this lifetime, in this world, in this universe. Now, fun turns into meaning. People who only want to have fun and think that fun is what it's all about sacrifice themselves for the sake of trying to get affection and adoration over insight, awakening, beauty, significance. I always ask students, what is the significance of your life? What is significant? And they always go into the past about certain things that they had fun with, certain things that they played around with, certain things that are quote-unquote fond memories. Rarely, if ever, has anyone ever said to me in my 40-something years of being a teacher that they had any significance in their life at all. Anything at all. What was the most significant thing a person had in the totality of their life? Significance is important. And what I call significance is very, very important. So what do you see as significant in your life? What do you see as meaningful in your living? What is it we are talking about here? To miss the meaning of life, to miss the quantitative insight, to see and realize proportionately how significant you are in this lifetime, not only to others, but to yourself, to the bigger picture of you, to see that this person you call Gail is a shadow of the beauty of something else that lives inside you. And to find the significance of that shadow and then to begin to see its totality, its real form through meditation, through the practice of an authentic livingness where love is more important than anything else. Ah, that is what it's really all about. That is the meaning of life itself. Now, I can't tell you what you should do because that's not my place nor my interest. My interest is to present to you options. And if I can present to you the option of what it is for you to be the spiritual being you are, and I can open that door for you, which I can and do, then good. You can make a decision. Do I go through that door or do I not? If you go through that door, you are doing something so different. Gail, it's something so different from whatever you have lived before. It is something magnificent. It is something that is otherworldly. And it can't be described in words like I'm using right now and bumbling and stumbling around because there are no words for it. It's the wordless word, as it were, the spoken silence. And if you can hear that spoken silence and hear that word, if you can enter into that kind of love, you will find that what you have been looking for all of your life has been significance, pure, unadulterated significance. And that significance cannot be defined by events and circumstances. It's found in the nature of your heart, the beauty of your heart, the state of your heart, the blessing of you. You are a living blessing while you and I live as a curse, not only to the world as we overpopulate it and kind of dirty it up with our junk, our trash and everything, but to the heart. You, there is something very beautiful about the nature of you. I hope you find that. And I'm glad that you're a little bit questioning this attitude of fun. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question. Can anyone heal a broken heart? Edward. He goes into what his heart is broken about. And it is a gamut of things. A love affair, looking at the earth and what we've done to it, and society. It's a long email. Edward, I am very impressed by your email. I want to say that right off the bat. The ability that you have to see the world for what it is, to see yourself for what it is, and to feel an ache and a pain for what has happened to the world and what we've done to it, is very significant. It is the first steps towards working into a spiritual awakening. Many years ago, I was standing before a crowd of people giving a discourse, and over the years, I thought when I first started my career that I could help people. And then I found out I couldn't. You can't change people. You really can't. And, you know, it's Mark Twain's quote, "You can't teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time and annoys the pig," became more and more prevalent. So I thought to myself I would go deeper. I thought, you know, maybe if I bring out some of the things I learned in India, some of the experiences I've had within myself. See, I was growing and maturing in a way that I really didn't understand. And there was a part of me, Edward, that was fighting all of this because, you know, the higher-ups wouldn't like what I was saying or what I was trying to do. Finally, I just let the cat out of the bag and went for it. But you really begin to see futility for what it is. It breaks your heart. It breaks your human heart. For sure, it breaks your human heart. It broke my human heart, and it still breaks my human heart. Every day of my life, I am a little more in my human heart broken. To have your human heart break puts aside all of the falderal of belief and theories and helps you understand the nature of your life and the kindness that can be there if you so seek it. If you seek higher ground within yourself and your heart is broken, you're in a great position. You're right in the right posture. You just can't give in to the broken heart thing and think that, well, it's useless and futile and I can't do this because blah, blah, this and blah, blah, that, whatever reasons you want to come up with. You have to stay with your heart, your spiritual heart. If your human heart breaks enough, your spiritual heart will rise. Just don't give up in the process of letting your human heart break. That is a very important thing to understand. If you can do that, if you can break your human heart and allow it to see its own futility, if you really can, a great wisdom will take its place. A great beauty will ensue, I promise. It happened for me. It will happen for you. I'm out of here. Please forgive me, Edward. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful weekend. I'll be back on the air next week. Hey, go make a donation. Become a sponsor. Help us sustain our program. Have a beautiful, beautiful one. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.